Well, I feel a little bit like a jack-in-the-box. Got down and up, and now I'm back up. So hopefully that meets with your approval as well. As we begin talking this morning, I've already shared with you what we're going to be discussing, keeping our focus on the goal. I'm actually going to begin again with number 214. Just take a moment. If you'd like to open your books there, you may. But the reason we're going here is because, again, it epitomizes, if you will, the idea of keeping our focus on the goal. At the very center of the goal is Jesus Christ. I briefly mentioned some of these. I was focusing in particular on the Lord's Supper just a moment ago. But now also consider your life. Consider your neighbors. Consider your friends. Consider the situations of life. And consider some of these words. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. I'm going to stop there for a moment. You know, earlier, 2 weeks ago, Ben gave a lesson. And one of the things I really appreciated about the lesson was he truly told some of the challenges that were going on in his life at the moment. Most of them related to the work situation. And it didn't sound like there was just one or two issues that were happening. But it was kind of an overburdened situation. I would say that everyone here today has felt overburdened at some point. And I would say, really, several of you may have felt that way sometime in the last week. A higher percentage felt that way sometime in the last month. And probably all of us have had some major challenges, at least in the last year. And as we do this, as you think about the words there, O soul, are you weary and troubled? You can't see a light, but yet there is a light. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. And we go back to verse 2, and we see the idea of Jesus Christ himself. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Sin is, again, one of those things that can be one of the burdens that we had, whether it's your sin or my sin or someone's sin that can create a major challenge in our life as well. We've got verse 3 there, his word shall not fail you. So the focus, we've got our soul, we've got Jesus Christ in his death and his life, and we've got his word, his promises. Go back to the class we've been having with Duane. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and what? All will be well. Blessed assurance. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. But if there's any key phrase for us to remember from this lesson and from this song, it relates to the next few words, and that is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As we are Christians here this morning, hopefully that is something that we have already done. But as we've done that one time, on one hand, we as Christians continue to keep that focus. But I would also say, just as I said, that all of us have probably had some weary and struggle in the last year at least. I would say that all of us have probably also lost focus. Maybe we may lose focus two or three times in a day. We may lose focus several times in a month or in a year. But as we look at Jesus and his wonderful face, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I would hope that you've experienced that too. Because as we truly have a commitment to the Lord, yes, we may lose focus briefly, but hopefully overall our focus remains strong. Hopefully overall the things of earth are growing dimmer and dimmer to you, because the light of Jesus' face is growing brighter and brighter for you personally in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Something important to remember, and certainly a key idea in keeping your focus on the goal. As we consider this, another passage that we will go to is actually a passage similar, or it is the passage that Larry had read this morning too. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. In speaking about the idea of keeping your focus on the goal, There are some things I really like about, I'm going to look particularly at verses 3 to 9. But I also notice that later in the chapter it talks about holiness. And again, just kind of making mention of Clayton's lesson from Wednesday night, this is certainly one way we set the foundation for holiness. If Peter is writing here, and Peter is basically developing the topic, these are comments he makes, and then shortly after he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and describes the aspects of holiness here. I'm going to pick up with verse 3. And as we do, let me just make a couple of comments. We're finding here, we're finding the beginning, and we're finding the end. All of us are on a spiritual journey. The spiritual journey has a beginning, and it has an ending, and it also has the journey that happens in between. So as we look at verses 3 and 4 to begin with, we see the beginning of our spiritual journey, and we see the end of it. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." I'm going to pause there and we'll talk some about this. In a sense, these verses that we're going to read include some of the ingredients of God's recipe for your spiritual life and for mine. And as we begin here, the first ingredient we see, as it began, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His," what? "Abundant mercy." God's mercy is, in a sense, the first ingredient to our salvation. "According to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I see here we are being begotten. This is our birth. According to His mercy, He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through this, we're seeing the idea of our birth, and we're seeing the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. When is our birth and the resurrection of Jesus brought together? Or what concept, biblically, brings our birth and the resurrection of Jesus together?
Baptism.
In our baptism. Is the word baptism mentioned here? No. But I believe that it is very much a part of this. And if we're keeping our focus on the goal, and we're talking about the beginning of this and our spiritual walk or spiritual journey, just a couple of passages we will briefly mention, and that is in John chapter 3, as Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus tells him what? "You must be born of the water and of the Spirit." This is the idea of being begotten that's mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 1. You are born of the water and of the Spirit. And as Bob said, we are talking about baptism here. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 6 briefly to see the idea of this being connected to Christ's resurrection and us being resurrected, if you will, at least from the waters of baptism. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 3 and just read a couple of verses here. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. We also will be raised from the waters of baptism to walk a new life." And what is our focus going to be as we begin that life? The idea becomes to keep our focus on the goal. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." I'll stop there for now. There's other comments that could be made with that, but we're basically trying to just make a couple of comments back in relation to 1 Peter. But back to 1 Peter chapter 1 then, we're seeing, the ingredient is God's mercy. We're seeing He's begotten us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and within those two, we have the idea of baptism, I believe. Verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Here's the beginning, and here is where our focus is, the goal at the end. But of course, between here and here, we've got a journey to make, right? And we're going to see in the next few verses some of the ideas of that journey. Verse 5 begins with some key words, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And let's stop right there for a moment. You and I, as we begin this journey, and whether that journey lasts a few days or for 70 years or whatever the case may be, during that journey we are kept by the power of God through faith. Going on to the idea of holiness as well. Through God's mercy and through Christ's crucifixion and so on, there is holiness on God's part. Our holiness begins as we are baptized into Him, as we put on Christ. It continues on as we are kept by the power of God through faith. Holiness, in a sense, involves both aspects of this. It involves us being kept by the power of God, and it involves our faith as we continue to grow in holiness as well. We are kept by that power through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So yes, we're rejoicing and we're ready and we're seeing the goal, but yet what's going to happen for a little while, it says? For a little while, you also will be grieved by various trials. Now, as Peter is writing this, of course, he's writing to people who truly are being grieved by the very possibility of their life being taken. There's a very direct way that they were being grieved by various trials. And we are not being grieved by those trials, but there are trials of life that you and I are grieved by as well. But what's that going to produce in verse 7? We find that the genuineness of your faith, one version says the proof of your faith, as our faith is proved, and it is found to be genuine, that is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so, in a sense, what we're trying to establish early on is the idea, no matter where we are in this journey, whether we are at the beginning of it, whether we are in the highs of it, whether we are in the lows of it, whether we are in the middle of it, in a sense, somewhere between the beginning and the end, in all of those places, what do we need to do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, or keep your focus upon the goal. Are you going to lose sight of that some? I would imagine. Yes, you will lose focus on that some. Because you are not Jesus Christ, and you will fall short, and I will fall short. But through His mercy and grace, we will be relieved of that as we repent and as we continue to stay with Him. We'll also move our attention to just some regular aspects of life in relation to this too. Because yes, we need the spiritual side, but also there is the reality of the challenges that we do face. I don't think I've mentioned this here. If I've mentioned this, what I'm going to share with you, then I apologize, but I'll mention it again, I guess. One of the things I substitute teach at various schools around, one of the things I especially appreciate about Stratford, I've gone to Stratford and they've got four banners that hang it's fairly long hall, and you know, one of the things at the beginning of the hall, it says "Start Strong." The next banner down a little ways says "Be Strong." The third banner says "Stay Strong," and the fourth banner says "Finish Strong." If you're in a school and you have four banners, how do you think school is divided into fours? Well, you could either look at freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, or you could look at the four quarters of the school year. And as I understand, the general idea of this relates to the 4 years of school. But as we're making some comments about that, understand there's so many different aspects of life that this follows suit in as well. How do you start? Start strong. Is that pretty easy to do? Pretty easy to start strong, isn't it? Usually when we start things, we've got lots of gusto and we're ready to go. We've got all the energy in the world left, or at least as much as we have in our life at that stage. Some usually have a little bit more energy when they're a little younger. But it's easy to start strong. We see examples of ourselves and we see people all around us that start strong. And so that lasts for a period of time. In a classroom during the course of a day, and just in 1 hour, People start strong at the beginning of the hour, but sometimes in the middle of the hour, students can get a little distracted. So whether you're talking even 1 hour, or whether you're talking about 4 years, or you're talking about the four quarters of a school year, students usually start very strong for the first 3-4 weeks. And then they may not be quite as strong, but right now we're going to go with the idea of quarters or years. Starting strong is not a big problem. And then you get to the second year or the second quarter, and the idea says, be strong. You can still be pretty strong because you still have a good amount of focus in the second part. But it continues to fade some. And by the third part, the idea says, stay strong. Is that probably the hardest part? To me anyway, usually the third quarter, whether it's the third quarter of a race, whether it's the third quarter of a school year or whatever it may be, people begin to lose sight a little bit. They've already done quite a bit. They're getting a little tired, and the end is still quite a ways away. So that's the time that we need to especially stay motivated, stay strong. And then the last part says, finish strong. Is it easy to finish strong? Not necessarily. I mean, there are people, the fourth year, often people get what? Those fourth year people in school are called seniors. Some of you remember the term senioritis, I'm sure. And not everybody chooses to finish strongly. But we have a choice, and certainly we can finish strong. Whether we're running a race and we're very tired, still, once we get to the last half lap or whatever, if we choose to, we can finish strong. And the same thing is true in a school year or in life as well. Now, that's kind of a valuable thing, and maybe all of us can relate to that in some way because all of us have been to school at some point. Some a couple years ago and some a few decades ago, but it's all we can relate. But let's just think of a lot of different areas of life. Take, for instance, you want to exercise. You want to exercise and you're to get in shape or lose weight, whatever it is. And let's just talk about 1 hour. When you start to exercise, do you have plenty of energy to begin with? And then do you continue to decline? And again, I'm not talking about a month's program or a year's program. I'm talking about in 1 hour. And so if you're exercising pretty hard, whether it's running or whatever it is, there comes a time and a point in that you become weak. But again, we can finish strong with it. I can see the idea of a day at work. So I've done 1 hour, take 1 day. Do you begin pretty strong during the course of a day, usually? Do some days at work get pretty long? And takes the motivation. If you're keeping your eye on the goal, you're excited that you're going to get a paycheck, at least you're getting paid. You're excited maybe about something that's going to happen at the end of the day. Those are some of the things that you may keep your focus on with that. What about somebody who is seriously injured? You may have been in your life, I may have been, others, but we certainly know people who have been injured in an accident, say, very badly. And it may take them a month to recover, it may take them 6 months, a year, and in some cases, recovery will never go back to where they were. They're simply hoping to get to a better point. In all of this, though, whether it is, and we're definitely talking about a longer period here, whether your recovery is a month, whether it's 6 months, or whether it's a year, one of the keys of that is to keep your focus on the what? On the goal. The goal of maybe being able to walk again. Maybe being able to walk without pain, whatever it may be. I think of, you know, parents who raise children. At the beginning of raising children, are there aspects of keeping your eye on the goal that can be challenging? I have known some couples that have had children that are in the early stages, that the children didn't sleep very much, and they were sleepy a lot. Now, if you're the idea of during that time, whether it's 6 months or 2 months or whatever it may be, you can certainly get very discouraged with some things. Focus on the goal, the idea of helping them to be able to sleep better, whether it's the idea of going through what some call the terrible twos or rebellious periods later in life. What is our goal? Our goal is to raise children who are productive, who learn, respect, and to serve the Lord. So we've taken some of these. We've talked about the spiritual side. Now we've moved into some other areas of life. But all of us can think of things that are important about this. I could draw this, but I don't really want to turn around and try to draw anything. But I'm just going to make the brief illustration that I made before. If this is the beginning and this is the end, there are times that our life goes, we'll call in the high times, and then there are the low times. So for right now, I'm just going to make kind of an arcing circle from beginning to end. I'll make an arcing circle on the low times from beginning to end. And then there's the points in between. Does your life typically go like this, or is it a lot of this at times? Even if we're steady, and I consider myself to be steady in general, and many of you here are fairly steady, but there's going to be sometimes that it's going to be up pretty well, and sometimes that it's going to be down. As a matter of fact, when do we typically lose focus? Can we lose focus when things are going great? Yes. Can we lose focus when things are going poorly? Let's look at two brief biblical examples of when things were going great. One of the first stories of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to turn there. You can if you choose, or just listen, whichever you want to do. But we'll grab a verse or two from Genesis 6. But how much better could it be than in the Garden of Eden? The paradise of God, if you will. And so here are Adam and Eve. Things are great. They can do so much. And Eve's focus was on obeying God. But along comes Satan, and he changes her focus. And we find in Genesis chapter, actually I said chapter 6, I'm looking at chapter 3, verse 6, actually. In chapter 3, verse 6, we see a change of Eve's focus. While life was great, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so, again, earlier we find she had obeyed the Lord, and their focus was on obedience, but their focus was changed because of Satan's temptation. I also think of the rich man, the rich fool, if you will. I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 12. Again, life was going great for this gentleman too. But his attitude was not what it needed to be. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 15. I'm going to read verses 15 to 21, and then we'll comment especially on verses 19 and 21. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Then he spake a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he said within himself, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose shall these things be which you have provided?' So is he which lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so as we look at this, number one, as this man had crops, and they did very well one year. And he had so many crops that he didn't have enough space to put them. And so he chose to build more barns. Anything wrong with building barns? Is this where he fell short necessarily? It seems to me that the building of barns isn't the major issue. But what did he say in verse 19? "I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Spiritually speaking of what we're talking about, he lost focus on his what? He lost focus on the goal in terms of for God. And so we could lose our focus in a similar way when things are going well, if we begin to be focused upon ourselves. And that's really the point made in verse 21 also. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." As you and I both know, when things are going well, our focus may very well turn to ourselves and not to God. And so as we talk about keeping our focus on the goal, we've talked about goal in terms of various things of life. All of us, I think, and when I say all of us, any person, whether they are spiritual or not, would agree that it's important to keep our focus on the goal in terms of lots of different aspects of life. Our focus, especially, though, as Christians, all the lessons that we can learn in life are and should be pointed toward the spiritual side. We are seeing then that spiritually, we too can be drawn away as things are going well. But also, and I will go back to the idea of the various trials. Often when we think of trials, we think of things when they're not going well for us. Going back again, making mention of what Ben had said, some of the ideas of just the way Ben described it, my impression is that he felt pretty overwhelmed, at least that day, and probably at times in this whole situation, has felt that way. You and I have felt that to a degree. Whether we may have even realized it at the time, we may not have realized it necessarily then, but looking back on it, there are overwhelming situations of life. And we can get so caught up in that, that our mind is focused only on the negatives that are before us. But if we're talking about serving God, what we hope to do is to be able to rise above the challenges that are there. But going back to the regular life aspect, we all know that whether we are working higher up in a position at work or no matter what our work is, and no matter what we're doing, parents, there's lots of things that we have in life that we are juggling a lot of different balls, if you will, or wearing a lot of different hats. And we can get caught up and lose focus on what we should be trying to accomplish. One of the challenges we face is taking all of those things, looking at them, and being reminded of what is truly important and where we are trying to go. We are trying to go here. Now, again, I'm not necessarily connecting this yet with the spiritual side. But just in our regular life, there's many things that we juggle. We need to be able to work our way through it, see the end, and see where we're going. As one gentleman who wrote about the idea of habits of effective people, you begin with the end in mind. And if you're beginning with the end in mind, right back here, as we talk about the spiritual things, we are spiritually born here. Here is our goal, heaven. As we begin with the end in mind, we are focusing on our end. Not only do we begin with the end in mind, but when we are in the first mile, do we also keep the end in mind? And the second mile. And all the way through, we continue to keep the end in mind as well. And here I'm talking about the end being salvation. And so as we wrap some things up, as we kind of summarize things and bring them together, what we need to always remember is to keep our focus on the goal. Every person here will fail and fall short of that at times. You may fall short once this week or twice or three times. Now ultimately, if we often and only, we always keep losing focus of the goal, we will not get there. And here we're talking about the goal of heaven. We can fall short at times, but we need to always make sure that we focus ourselves once again. And that's where we're headed. So keeping your focus on the goal, one of the main ways we do that is by continuing to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look on His wonderful face. And as we do that, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We have been begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, and it's reserved where for who? Reserved in heaven for you, and we are kept by the power of who? Kept by the power of God through faith. These are things we need to remember from this, and in verse 9 of this, we receive the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. And so this morning, as we bring it to a conclusion, as we leave this morning, hopefully we continue to be reminded that we keep our focus on the goal, yes, on the first day of the week, but on other days and all days throughout it as well. And when we do fall short, continue to repent and continue to come back to focus on where we're headed. turning our eyes at the very center, Jesus Christ, and above, to heaven above, setting our affection on things above. We offer the gospel invitation. If you have not yet had that spiritual birth to begin that spiritual journey, we ask you to come forward confessing Jesus as the Son of God, to have your sins washed away in baptism, or if there are other things to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing.